You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
In today's show, we bring in our colleague with the Locked On Cowboys podcast, Marcus Mosier. And welcome aboard, everybody. I'm Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, alongside with my co-host Brian Patterson from House of Houston and houseofhouston.com. Thanks for jumping on the Locked On Texans podcast. We are your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. And thanks for joining us, Marcus. I know Texans fans can't wait for the Cowboys Sunday nighter, and it stinks that we can only do this once every 4 years.
I know. It's such a fun rivalry having the Cowboys and Texans play against each other. I was just talking to you guys before the show. I was watching the Cowboys-Texan game from 2002, and the Texans fans were just absolutely crazy in that game. I know that Houston, they love this rivalry, this matchup, so I am certainly looking forward to it.
I want to get your thoughts on the Cowboys' offseason, and let's start with the move that got most of the attention around the league and around the NFL. What are your thoughts on Dez Bryant? Were you on board with the Cowboys releasing him?
No, and I think there's a lot of people on the team that still aren't on board with that move. It was a decision made by the coaching staff and a couple players in the roster. I reported that Dak Prescott signed off on the move. He wasn't one that was pushing for Dez's release, but he wasn't advocating for him to stay either. Sanjay Law, the wide receiver coach, kind of saw Dez as just a one or two route player. I think they're really going to miss Dez. They haven't really adequately filled that role. They're going to miss him in the red zone. They're going to miss him drawing double teams. The game against Oakland at the end of the season was a perfect example of what he can still bring to this team. He can stretch the field. He can make impact plays in the end zone, and he can draw coverage. And the Cowboys just don't have a guy like that on the roster. I think they're going to miss him a lot more than what people want to believe at this point in time.
You think he's still a stretch the field type of receiver then?
Yes, but in different ways than we normally think of those guys. When we think of the stretch the field, we're thinking of DeSean Jackson and Tyreek Hill, the guys that, you know, make plays down the field with speed. Dez can do it with his body control. He can do it by drawing pass interference calls. He was a guy that teams still had to respect. When you look at the Cowboys receiving corps right now, there's not a single guy on that roster that terrifies you entering the week. We saw flashes of it from Dez last year. He wasn't 100% healthy. I still think he has the ability to be a really productive receiver in the NFL. So, yeah, I think they're going to miss him a lot.
You guys picked up Allen Hurns. Speaking of wide receivers, what did you think about the Cowboys' free agent moves?
Hurns is fine. I mean, he's your number two receiver. I think he's fine. He doesn't have a lot of speed. He can make kind of the tougher plays. I've kind of compared him to a discount Anquan Boldin. I know he's quite a bit younger and he has a little bit more athleticism, but that's the type of receiver he is. He's going to convert, the third and sixth out of the slot while he's taking a hit. He's not going to be a guy that makes a lot of plays downfield. He's not going to be a big red zone weapon, but the Cowboys are relying on him to be their number one receiver. That sounds like a little bit of a stretch to me, but I think he'll be solid for them.
Were you happy with the draft? What did you think? Give me sort of your rundown of some of those guys and where you were on all the picks they made.
Yeah, so I actually liked their draft quite a bit, except for the first-round pick, Leighton Vander Esch. I get why the Cowboys did it. They needed a linebacker that could replace Sean Lee if he goes down. Leighton Vander Esch is a really athletic guy that can play both middle and weak side linebacker. I just didn't see a guy that was very consistent. You look at his game film at the beginning of the year, and he really struggled to get off blocks. They already invested a second-round pick into Jalen Smith. Sean Lee is still on the team. They have Damian Wilson, who's played a bunch of snaps. I thought there was better players on the board that they could have selected. Harold Landry, the defensive end from Boston College, being one of them. I'm okay with Vander Esch, but it wasn't an ideal pick. Connor Williams in the second round was a steal. The Cowboys needed a left guard. They monkeyed around with that position too much in the last 2 years, playing Jonathan Cooper and Chaz Green at that spot. They needed a solid guy to come in and be a stable person at left guard. I think Connor Williams can do that. In the third round, Michael Gallup, one of my favorite receivers in the entire class. I think he has a little bit of Michael Thomas to his game. Not overly fast, not overly explosive. But very productive, hard-nosed, a guy that you can play as an X, a Z, or in the slot. I think he's going to be a guy that ascends up the Cowboys depth chart you know, the rest of the season. And in the fourth round, taking Dalton Schultz and Dorrance Armstrong, two guys that figured to be backups this year, but maybe could develop into solid starters down the road. So overall, a very good draft. Not overly thrilled with Leighton Van Der Esch in the first round, but overall, a class that seems like there's going to be a lot of guys that have the potential to play a lot in their first year.
Do they have enough weapons on the outside without Dez? How worried are you about the weapons that they've got to utilize and what Dak's going to have to work with?
Yeah, they don't have enough weapons. I mean, I'll just be honest with you. If you're looking at them as a Super Bowl contending team, I don't think they have enough playmakers to scare teams. You know, when you're playing against the Minnesota Vikings or the New Orleans Saints or the Green Bay Packers, you need guys that can beat one-on-one coverage. You need guys that can dictate coverage. They don't have that guy, not at the wide receiver spot, not at the tight end spot. Now, they do have one of the best running backs in the league in Ezekiel Elliott, but if a team can stop or slow down the Cowboys' rushing attack, I just don't see many ways that they're going to be able to get into these shootouts with some of these elite teams in the NFC. I think it's going to be the one thing that holds them back from being a real contender this year. Now, could their defense step up? Could Dak, you know, maybe elevate some of these pass catchers? That's possible. But when you're talking about a Super Bowl contender, the Cowboys just don't have enough in terms of talent at the wide receiver and tight end position right now.
Hey, just want to leap off your discussion about Dak Prescott. You know, there was a decline with them last season, you know, and a lot of people are saying, well, you didn't have Dak, or he didn't have Ezekiel Elliott at all that much. Can you kind of give us some insight as to what could have caused this? And do you think that he's going to bounce back this season, or he's going to be about the same or worse?
Yeah, so it was a combination of things for Prescott last year. Once Zeke went, you know, had to serve a suspension, it was going to be tough for the Cowboys anyways. But Tyron Smith getting hurt, that really multiplied the difficulties that Prescott had. Over the final eight games of the season, Zeke and Tyron played just two snaps together. That's a recipe for disaster, knowing the way the Cowboys are built on this team. It also didn't help that they played some really good teams during that stretch that Dak struggled. They played the Atlanta Falcons, who have a really fast defense, and they played them at Atlanta. They played the Chargers on a short week, and we know about the Chargers secondary and their pass rush. They played the Philadelphia Eagles, and the Eagles had a fantastic defense and went on to win the Super Bowl. Even, you know, Washington ended up being an 8-8 team that, you know, knows Dallas very well. It was a lot of bad luck. It was obviously not a great time for Dak, but I think we are overreacting to those six games compared to the first 24 of Dak's career. Is he as good as, you know, the start of we saw in 2016? Probably not, but is he as bad as we saw in that six to eight game stretch? Absolutely not. I think he's somewhere in the middle. Can he be the 8th to 12th best quarterback in the league this year? I certainly think so.
I'm going to ask you, I don't know if you, did you have a chance to see much of Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, Watson's really good. I actually asked a scout earlier this offseason, you know, to rank, you know, the top three or four most valuable assets in all of the NFL. And after Rodgers and after Carson Wentz, Deshaun Watson was the very next name that came out of his mouth. So I think Watson is going to have a fantastic season this year.
All right, I want to ask you a little bit also about the head coach and where he's at. But first, just want to remind our listeners that if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, tell your friends. Let them know they can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spotify, most anywhere you're going to find your favorite podcast. And if you'd like to check out more podcasts from our national Locked On Network, go to LockedOnSports.com, our new Locked On Network website. We have podcasts for nearly every NFL and NBA team, our Locked On NFL Draft Show, our national shows, as well as Locked On NFL shows. It's all on LockedOnSports.com. That's LockedOnSports.com. Well, your coach, Jason Garrett, he's been around for a while. How is the fan base handling Jason Garrett at this point, and how are you dealing with his longevity there? Is it starting to get frustrating? Is it beyond frustrating? Kind of give me the heartbeat of a Dallas Cowboy fan right now with Jason Garrett.
It was frustrating by the end of, like, 2013. I think now, going into 2018, I think Cowboy fans are just getting used to the assumption that Jason Garrett is going to be around forever. I don't think it matters what happens to this Cowboys team. He is always going to be the head coach. We know Jerry Jones loves him. I make the joke on Locked On Cowboys all the time that when the apocalypse happens, the only thing that is going to survive are Twinkies and Jason Garrett, because there's I just don't see any way that he gets fired from this team, because he has so much support in the front office. He has a lot of power in that draft room. It's just I don't know if there's many other options out there that Jerry Jones wants to explore. I mean, if a Nick Saban became available, you know, possibly, but Jason Garrett is a guy that Jerry Jones wants to groom for this role. He wants him to be his Tom Landry, be there for the next 10 to 20 years. It just is what it is. I'm of the belief that Jason Garrett is not a bad coach. He's just not a good coach. And he ultimately doesn't help them on game days, but he never really hurts them. It's just one of those things where he's just an average head coach. And what do you do with an average head coach that gets you to 8-8, 9-7, 10-6 every once in a while? I don't know. But yeah, the fan base is really growing tired of this constant being mediocre every season instead of being a real contender.
Brian, it sort of reminds me of, he's kind of the Rick Smith of the Cowboys, but with a little bit of Gary Kubiak thrown in.
Yeah. I just wonder, you know, when you think that he's going to be fired, you know, all of a sudden, you know, he gets an extension, and it would just take something like a scandal or something to get him out of there. So that's the only way, you know, if he that's the only way.
You're probably right. Yeah,
that's right. That's right. And, you know, while we're on the topic of, you know, just talking about team and just, you know, with the different parts of the roster, you know, I wanted to talk to you about Jason Witten. Did it surprise you when he announced his retirement? And what do you think about the tight end position moving forward? You think it's shored up for this season, or are they going to have to develop somebody?
It was tough losing Jason Witten. He was still the emotional leader in the locker room. He was a guy that a lot of the players looked up to. But to be fair, his production really decreased over the last couple of years. You really noticed it in his ability to make plays after the catch. You know, the joke is that he's become a dad runner as of late. He kind of just runs straight, turn around, catch the ball, fall down. He didn't really offer anything big down the field. He wasn't becoming a red zone weapon. And the biggest part of his game was he was becoming a bad blocker. He was a guy that you really couldn't even have on the field because he made so many mistakes because of athleticism was declining. Mm-hmm. However, they just don't have somebody on their roster ready to replace him. Probably the guy that's going to get the most snaps this year is Blake Jarwin, who was an undrafted rookie free agent in 2017 from Oklahoma State. He's an okay blocker, an okay receiver, doesn't have elite athleticism, but that's a guy that really needs to learn the position before you can count on him to be any kind of weapon in the passing game. Jeff Swaim, a guy from Texas that they drafted in 2015, really more of just a finesse blocker that you want to use in certain packages. I know a lot of people like Rico Gathers, but I'm telling you that the odds of Rico making this roster are very, very slim. In the fourth round, they grabbed Dalton Schultz, the tight end from Stanford. He needs to get a lot stronger before he can play in the NFL. They just don't have anybody right now. So would it surprise me if they go out and try to trade or sign somebody in free agency? No. But they clearly like these guys. I think they want to see the year through with Jarwin and Swaim and Schultz to see how things go. But it's certainly going to be a position of weakness heading into the 2018 season.
Who is your week one starter at tight end right now? Who is it?
I'll go Blake Jarwin. Okay. It's not good. This is the worst tight end group that I've seen in Dallas in years. I mean, it's bad.
Where is the identity on the defense, do you think? What is the guy, or, you know, how do people identify the Cowboys defense at this point? Because to me, they feel like a little bit faceless right now.
Yeah, so they still have Rod Marinelli, who is their defensive coordinator and still respected as one of the best defensive line coaches in all of the NFL. The Cowboys actually were pretty good last year in creating pressure. DeMarcus Lawrence will be back, probably playing on the franchise tag. We know David Irving is serving a 4-game suspension, but when he is playing and he's on top of his game, there's not five better defensive tackles on all of football. The new acquisition this year is Chris Richard, the former Seattle Seahawks defensive coordinator who will be coaching the Cowboys passing game. He is bringing an intense energy to this team. I know the defensive backs are really excited about bringing him in. I think you're going to see a really fast Cowboys defense this year. And that's part of the reason why they brought in Leighton Vander Esch, is they wanted to create a lot more speed. They are one of the youngest defenses in the entire league. They only have one starter over the age of 30, and that's Sean Lee. A very young unit that I think by the end of the season, you will see it as one of the top 10 to 12 defenses in the league.
Yeah, talk about the power structure with the Cowboys right now with Jerry Jones. I mean, is he still the guy that's calling most of the shots, or is it his son, Steven, you know, trying to in the background, you know, saying, hey, Dad, you know, we can't do this. We can't. Is he like the voice of reason? You know, is there some sort of a transition that's going on? Because we talk about a lot with our ownership with Bob McNair and Cal, his son, you know, but Bob still calls a lot of the shots. He's still the man. And, you know, we talked with, you know, John McClain, and he said the same thing. Bob is still in charge. But what's the situation with Steven and Jerry?
Yeah, so Jerry is still the president, the GM of this team. But every single year, Steven Jones is gaining more and more control of this team and of this roster. You are starting to see that kind of bleed into some of the contracts and some of the way the Cowboys handle free agency. The Cowboys used to be in the early, you know, the late 90s and the early 2000s, teams that would go out and spend in free agency. They would go out and trade for the big name guys, Joey Gallo and Roy Williams. That's not really Steven Jones' philosophy. He wants to be very frugal with his money. He wants this to be a team where if you don't perform up to your contract, you're gone. And Dez was the perfect example. Jerry Jones fought for Dez the entire time. He wanted him on this team. But Steven Jones and a couple of the other cap management guys said, hey, we can move on from him. We'll be okay. And as much as Jerry Jones wanted him on this roster, Steven Jones was able to convince him to go ahead and release him. So that was just the one move that showed you who is really in power now in Dallas. And that's Steven Jones, for better or worse.
Wow.
I want to go back to your 2011 draft for a second. And before I do that, let me remind our listeners that if you haven't already, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, email us at LockedOnTexans@mail.com. If you forget any of that, just go to the show description of each podcast. It's all right there. We want your voice to be a part of our conversation. We took an email question the last show. It was really fun. So email LockedOnTexans@mail.com. That's LockedOnTexans@mail.com. Well, Marcus, one of the things you guys did in your recent show is you went back to the 2011 draft, and this will interest Texans fans because you guys picked ninth, and you guys made a little bit of the argument that you made the right pick with Tyron Smith, even though a guy named J.J. Watt was picked a couple of picks after that. I think you made a good point. Explain your reasoning behind that, because I think the Texans fans would be interested in that.
Yeah, so I will argue that J.J. Watt is the better player, just in a vacuum. I know he's been injured the last couple of years, but that was, you know, maybe one of the most dominant defensive linemen that I've ever seen. However, you think back to the Cowboys in 2011, and actually, you know, before that in 2010, their season was basically finished once Tony Romo got hurt in the sixth game of the season with a broken collarbone. They needed to improve their offensive line. It was an aging group. So they went and took the best offensive lineman that they've graded in years, and Tyron Smith, put him at right tackle, and now he's been a stable, one of the best left tackles in all of football, you know, since he was drafted. I know that the Cowboys could have used J.J. Watt, and they could have used a guy like that on their defense with Wade Phillips, with, you know, Rod Marinelli, but they needed to solidify that offensive line. I really don't think you can go wrong with either selection, but with the Cowboys wanting to base their identity off their offensive line, off the running attack, keeping their quarterback upright, I think Tyron was the right selection there for the Cowboys.
Let's talk about, you know, just going back, so now we're talking about history. Can you let me know, what was your favorite Cowboys moment? Was it, you know, the Dez catch, you know, the controversial catch? I know that might not be your favorite moment, but but talk to us about what got you into just the Cowboys fandom, you know, from the get-go. A moment that really strikes with you.
So I'm a little bit of a younger fan. I'm 27, so I grew up, you know, really late 90s, early 2000s. Mm-hmm. I always thought, you know, as a kid, you look at the flashy players. I know that's always something that was exciting for you, you know, whether it's a Michael Vick or the Reggie Bush or whoever it is. So for me, in the late 90s, watching Deion Sanders, I think it was a Sunday night game he played against the Giants. I had an interception for a touchdown. I had a punt return for a touchdown. I think that's what it was. Just watching Deion and his flair and his flash, that got me right into being a Cowboy fan. But I will also mention, I am from PA. I live in Steeler country. So my favorite moment for the Cowboys is anytime the Cowboys beat the Steelers. In 2016, when the Cowboys beat the Steelers in that shootout in Pittsburgh with Zeke with the game-winning touchdown, probably my favorite moment ever for being a Cowboy fan.
How does a Pittsburgh area guy, or I guess Pennsylvania area guy, end up as a Cowboys fan?
Well, first of all, my whole family's Steeler fan, so I kind of have that, you know, devil's advocate personality. So you want to pick a team that not everybody roots for, but also my dad is a big Cowboy fan. So we have a huge family, you know, 50-something Steeler fans in our family. We are the only Cowboy fans. That makes it fun. You know, we every Sunday watching the football games together. We still do watch every Cowboy game together. I don't think we've missed one my entire life. So he's really the one that got me started watching the Cowboys.
Cowboys have all these great rivalries, you know, especially in the division, the Giants, the Eagles, the Redskins. I mean, they're all those guys. Where does the Texans rivalry fit in, do you think, to, you know, with all the rivalries that the Cowboys have?
Yeah, so I think rivalries are interesting because I think it depends on who you're asking, right? If you're asking a Cowboy fan in Pennsylvania, the Texan-Dallas rivalry doesn't do much for me just because I don't have a lot invested in it. Not as much as I do in the Cowboy-Pittsburgh rivalry. So it really depends on your fan. I mean, I know you're always going to hate the Eagles and the Redskins and the Giants. That's just a given. But I think it kind of comes from, you know, where you live and, you know, some of the teams around you. I'm sure the Houston fans hate the Cowboy fans. And listen, I understand why us Cowboy fans can be kind of cocky and so on and so forth. But for me, it's up there. But when we're talking about the Steelers, the Packers, the Eagles, Giants, Redskins, it's not all that close for me.
What do the Cowboys need? Last question. What do they need as far as what areas would really make this team into a Super Bowl contender? If you could improve X, Y, and Z, we talked about weapons at the wide receiver position. I assume that's one of the big ones, but is there other stuff that you really feel like is got to get a lot better before they can be a Super Bowl contender?
Well, I don't think they're that far away. I think when you look at the team and you look at, you know, Hearns, I mentioned he's a good number two. I think Michael Gallup can be a solid number two. You like Cole Beasley out of the slot. They need one solid, reliable number one receiver. And I think eventually they can find that because those aren't that hard to find. But the thing they really need is they need a dominant free safety that can kind of complete this cover two defense that Chris Richard wants to install. They need a guy that can be the topper, that can be the playmaker in the secondary so that they can blitz, they can run up from sideline to sideline. They need an Earl Thomas. And I know that's a guy that's been mentioned a lot for Dallas. And I think there's still a possibility that he gets there. But that's the type of guy that they need from taking this defense from being a good one to a potentially great Super Bowl caliber defense.
The Cowboys record this year is going to be what?
Well, it's Jason Garrett, so I will say 8-8 or 9-7.
Sounds very Kubiak-ian to us.
Does that make the playoffs?
No, the NFC is just ridiculous. I think you can be 9-7. And have a really, really good roster and not make the playoffs. So if the Cowboys go 9-7, it doesn't necessarily mean they're a bad team at all.
It's at @Marcus_Mosher, M-O-S-H-E-R on Twitter. And you do the show with Landon McCool. What are you guys got coming up on Locked On Cowboys? What are you guys looking forward to in the next few weeks?
So we are continuing with our draft review. We're going to talk about the 2012 and 2013 draft. We also have some special guests coming up in the next few weeks. Landon's going out to training camp to cover the Cowboys each and every single day. So we've got a lot of fun stuff coming up.
Well, we got you coming back for sure. We want to talk to you before that Sunday night football game in a few months. I mean, it's actually not that far away when you think about it.
We're getting close.
Maybe 12 weeks away or something. A preseason game, of course, that's even closer than that, probably about 7 or 8 weeks away. So it's coming up quickly. Hey, thanks so much for doing this. Don't forget that Brian's got everything covered on House of Houston, a fan side affiliate. Check out his work at houseofhouston.com, a Houston Sports Talk podcast. Of course, easy to find on iTunes, most anywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. That's all we got for this one. As always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.